Hello again. This is Pastor Vic with another Nugget of Truth, and I'm podcasting from Hyde Park, New York, in the United States. And I'm your host. I'm Dr. Vic Torres. I'm a pastor, a teacher, and author. And I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, the forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. Now, in the last several posts, we focused on the gift of grace that came from the Father. And of course, the gift that the Father gave us, the gift was Jesus. Then we looked at the gift of grace of Jesus, and the gift that Jesus gave us was the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will now look at one more important area in which Jesus gave us gifts. Jesus gave gifts of the Holy Spirit to every single person who would call Jesus Lord and Savior. But he also gave gifts to the church in general. And that's the final gift of Jesus. It's meant for the church. Now, it's important to distinguish between what I call the physical church and the spiritual church. The physical church would be the church buildings, the church property, the church equipment, the sound system, as well as denominations and organizations and groups. And there are many of those. And the truth is that in Christianity today, there are many people who call themselves Christians, but they call themselves Christians because their parents were Christians. And one thing is for certain is that God doesn't have grandchildren. Every person who comes to him must come on their own. Now, while there are many who call themselves Christians, there are those who call themselves Christians because they are born again. Those who are born again are the ones that make up the spiritual church. So the spiritual church, again, is made up of all believers around the world who are born again. They may have speak different languages. They may have different colored skin. They may have different cultures and ways of doing things. But the point is, they've made a decision to let Jesus be the Lord of their lives. Now, all of these born again believers, when we bring it all together, are known as the body of Christ. And so, as Jesus is now the spiritual head of the church, his body, that's us, that means that he's talking about us as being spiritual as well, spiritual speaking to spiritual. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And so spiritually speaking, we are the body and Jesus is the head. And we can believe that Satan is under our feet. Now, the gift of grace of God are for his body of believers. As important physical churches and all that goes with it and organizations are, they are not what Jesus died for. He died for you and me. He died for people. Not a denomination, not an organization, not people in a church building, but he died for people throughout the world. The original word for church in the New Greek, in the New Testament, is the Greek word ekklesia. And ekklesia simply means the called out ones. Those that have been called out of the world system and into the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual church on earth. Now, Jesus empowered the church with spiritual leaders to lead the way. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11, the scriptures say, "And he himself," meaning Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." That's five. So these five gifts are often referred to as the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, what's important to remember about the fivefold ministry gifts is that they describe functions. They are not titles. Now, by function, I mean What these five ministry gifts is, it describes what they are supposed to be doing. So an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist and a pastor and teacher have very specific job descriptions, if you will, which God has ordained. Now, remember, God calls the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, prophet, and teacher. Then it takes people to recognize that gifting on their life. And then usually there's an ordination process. So the ordination is simply man's way of recognizing the call on someone's life. Now, there are many who have the title, but they don't function in the way God intended them to function. They appear to be more interested in the title than doing what the title suggests. In other words, they are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers in name only, because they're not functioning in those capacities. But on the same hand, on the other hand, there are many who don't have the title, but they function as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They work tirelessly for the kingdom of God. They may not be recognized by other leaders, but I can assure you of this. If they're doing the work of the ministry, if they're functioning in their calling, then they are recognized by God. Now let's look briefly at each one of these gifts to the church. First of all, we have the apostle. And the apostles are, if you will, ambassadors of the gospel. Now I want you to think of the word ambassador. I'm in the United States, and when we send ambassadors to other countries, they represent our country. When you, if you're in a foreign land, send ambassadors to the United States, they represent your country. In the same way, the apostles represent the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. They're officially commissioners of Christ, and they often have miraculous powers. The word apostle actually means to be sent, a messenger, one that is sent. And so apostles go to new places to establish the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. And they also to ensure that churches are operating under the correct doctrines or teachings. I often think of missionaries as true apostles, because they're the ones that go to different lands or different countries and start a work for Jesus Christ. They're sent to establish works in foreign lands. So, in a sense, missionaries can be seen as being apostles. The next group of the fivefold ministry are the prophets. I want to say something very, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Prophets are forth-tellers. They are not fortune tellers. Now, the difference is major. The forth tellers, that simply means they are speaking for God. God speaks to them, then they speak to us. Fortune tellers are trying to determine the future for their own benefit. But prophets are given as a gift to the church to benefit the church. They are inspired. That means God breathes, the Holy Spirit breathes into them the words, and then they speak and represent God. A prophet speaks forth what Christ is saying to the church for today. Now, a New Testament prophet does three important things. They encourage the body of Christ. They don't tear them down. They don't rip them apart. But they encourage them and try to inspire them with words that God is speaking. They also edify. That means to build up their character, to build up their inner man or the inner woman, to realize that Christ is in them. The Holy Spirit is working through them. And then they exhort. They encourage. They're pushing, in a sense, to cause you, the body of Christ, to go forward and to go forward without fear, knowing that God is with them. The third group are, of course, the evangelists, and they're the preachers of the gospel. The gift of the evangelist is to produce new converts with the simple gospel message that, number one, Jesus loved them, Jesus died for them, and by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. The message is very simple. It's a message of God's love, of the forgiveness that Jesus provides, and the acceptance into his family. And so the evangelist is important, especially in those areas where the apostle has gone first, there's been a prophetic word, and now the responsibility of the evangelist is to draw people to him. It's not necessarily to draw people to a particular church body. You know, sometimes we have evangelists within the church, and they only think about building up the numbers of the church that they go to. But the evangelist has a gift. And that gifting is a gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak truth and to speak to people and cause their hearts and their consciences to be convicted, that they might turn their lives around and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And so we have many who are evangelists, and it's a wonderful gifting and exciting to have evangelists within the church. But there's also that the idea that you're building not simply the local church, but you're building the spiritual church, which is, goes around the world. And then there are pastors. Now, I've been a pastor of Reach Out Church for 25 years, and I've learned a couple things in that time. And what I've learned is that I've never looked at my church as a stepping stone to go up to something else. I focus my attention, I focus my heart, I focus my energy on those whom God has brought to me to be responsible for. Remember, the word pastor is often translated as a shepherd. Well, that's very true, but the word pastor comes from the Greek word diakonos, and that's the very same word as a deacon. In other words, pastors are called to serve. Jesus is the pastor of his sheep. He is willing to lay down his life for those that he has called to himself. Pastors, in the very same way, you are called to lay down your life to serve those in the church. Too many times, pastors think of themselves as having, because they have the title of pastor, that the church is supposed to serve them. That is not what the scripture teaches. We are called to care for the health and the spiritual well-being for the body of Christ that God has brought into our hands. And then finally, there are teachers. And teachers are instructors who teach the truths of Christ from the Bible. They're not relying on the newspaper. They're not relying on some magazine. They're not relying on some great message from somewhere else. But they are spending time in the Word. They're spending time communicating with the Holy Spirit of God. For the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And so a teacher is responsible for revealing the truth that are found in the Word of God. And good teachers are teachers who are able to make that which is complicated very simple. Too many times, teachers like to make things that are simple very complicated. And that simply makes them feel like they're really smart or brilliant or whatever it might be. But the reality is that a true teacher is able to take those spiritual concepts, which are sometimes difficult to grab a hold of, and make them understandable to the average person in the church. Now, all of these people, whether it's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, or teacher, are called by God to equip or prepare the saints. Now, I know sometimes some people have a problem with the word saint, but the truth is, the word saint, as used in the New Testament, refers to you and me, the spiritual body of Christ, those who are born again. And to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry or serving. And all of this is revealed in Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And I encourage you to take a look at that, as we will do in the future, because it describes very carefully how the fivefold ministries, especially pastors, are to function. But now, let me just take a moment to talk about a sensitive issue regarding leaders in the church. It's easy to put leaders on a pedestal. And what I mean is that we elevate them so high, and then we become so disappointed when they don't live up to the expectations that we have for them. I'm sure you've seen leaders fall. It may be due to a financial misconduct or a moral misconduct. But nevertheless, we need to realize, or we always need to keep in mind, that ministers are human, just like every other believer. They are still working through their own weaknesses and their shortcomings, as all believers do, even though they may be anointed or gifted by God. The anointing or the gifting of God does not excuse a fivefold minister from also developing the character of God in their life. If anything, the anointing is built upon the character of God in that individual. You see, God doesn't call those who are equipped to do ministry, but He equips those whom He calls. And again, this means that God is working through the Holy Spirit in bringing to maturity every leader as well. I mean, think of the greatest of the apostles, or one of the great apostles, of course, is Peter. And we see that Peter went through failure. He went through disappointment. He betrayed the Lord. But then eventually he came to a place that he became one of the most powerful leaders that God ordained him to be. It's a process. It takes time. Now, the unbeliever, of course, looks at these lapses or these failures in Christian leadership, and they cry out, "You see, they're all hypocrites." However, those who are mature Christians understand that all of us, including the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are works in progress. While it's true that the fivefold ministry leaders are held to a higher standard by God, we see that in James 3:1, it is important as believers not to judge too quickly. Now, having said that, we should obviously avoid those who preach false doctrines or practices or practice immorality, because there are those who are, as the Bible describes them, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's Matthew 7:15. So we need to be aware. And how can we discern what is God and what is? Listen, you and I, as believers, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word itself. We can't rely on others to open the Word to us. At least we can't rely on others to open the Word to us for everything. We need to take the initiative and get into the Word ourselves so that we would be able to recognize the truth when we hear it and be able to apply those truths to our lives. And so I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage you, if you are an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, remember that you are called to serve. And for those that may not have been called to that quite yet, then I encourage you to support the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, because they are there because God has put them there. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets. If you like the show and you want to know more, you can check out our website. There are two places you can go to. They'll lead you to the same site. One is www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. The other is simply www.pastorvic.com. And of course, because this is a podcast, you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, you can find us on Google Podcasts, as well as all of the other podcast platforms. So I look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you. Grow in Christ.